Turn with me to the book of Psalms. I want to deal with Psalm 23, but I want to read some from Psalm 22. We'll just touch here and there in Psalm 22, but our time will be spent in Psalm 23. In Psalms chapter 22 and verse 1, he says, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me? And from the words of my roaring. O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not. And in the night season, and am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou inhabitants of the praise of Israel." Now look over to verse 19. "Be not thou far from me, O Lord, O my strength. Haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dogs. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorn. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify him. And fear him, all ye the seed of Israel. For he has not despised nor abhorred the afflictions and the afflicted, neither hid his face from him, but when he cried unto him, he heard." Now look at verse 28. "For the kingdom is the Lord, and he is the governor among the nations. All they that be fed upon the earth shall eat and worship. All they that go down to the dust shall bow before him, and none can keep alive his own soul. A seed shall serve him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto the people that shall be born, that he has done this." Brother Henry wrote something that I read, and I include it here in my message. He said, "For years, men have tried to prove when the 23rd Psalm was written. When did David write this psalm? Was it when he was a shepherd watching over the sheep? Or was it when he was fleeing from Saul, fleeing for his life when Saul was after him? Or was it when he was sitting on the throne of God, or sitting on the throne of the King of Israel, at peace, at peace?" Brother Henry went on to say, "We don't know when he wrote this, but we know this. It's right before Psalm 23. When David here cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?' Then here in Psalm 23, verse 1, it says, 'The Lord is my shepherd.'" Oh, what a peace this is. Now, our brother just read that our Lord said, "I am the good shepherd. I am the way. I am the doorway to the sheepfold. I am the shepherd. I giveth my life for the sheep." So we know without a doubt, there's no controversy here, that our Lord is the shepherd. But is he my shepherd? Is he your shepherd? Have God, by his grace, work within my heart and your heart to reveal unto us, he's my shepherd. What he did for me. What he suffered for me. The way that he lived and the death that he died was because of my sin. My sin. Around our place, there's a big going on of, won't you make Jesus your personal Savior? Won't you allow Him to do something for you? Won't you accept Him? He's done all He can do, now just accept Him. How foolish, how foolish. When the Scripture declares, He declares Himself, I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd giveth His life for the sheep. I know my sheep, and my sheep knows me. Other sheep I have, which is not of this fold at this present time. He's talking about you and I. He's talking about you and I if God has given us grace to look to Christ by faith. He's talking about me being a sheep. And I wonder, how can that be? The old question rings over and over and over. How can it be? How can it be that God should love a soul like me? I know something about what goes on here in this human nature. I know something about what goes on in my mind and in my heart. And I cry out, how can it be? How can it be that God should love a soul like me? And we read through the Scriptures. Our Lord said, I came down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of Him that sent me. And when you read that, don't misunderstand that. He said, I don't do my own will. I do the will of the Father. I and my Father are one. When you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So there was no controversy here of men trying to make it, oh, he wanted to do this and the Lord made him do. No, that's foolishness. He came to do the will of His Father. And that was His will. That was His will also in the Spirit. Now in the flesh, He had this agony of sin to the point that He cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He knew that He must go to the cross. He says, for my hour is not yet come. And then when it got closer and closer and closer, He said, my hour is come. My time has come that I'm going to go and offer myself a sacrifice for my sheep. I'm going to go and secure my sheep. I'm going to go and redeem my sheep. And I'm going to go and perfectly secure them, and perfectly present them unto the Father as in me. So we know that this man, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the shepherd. And He came in the flesh. Now this is a mystery among all mysteries. How a woman conceives and be with child without knowing a man. But the Scripture tells us that which is conceived of thee is of the Holy Ghost. It was this, one of the writers wrote, that holy thing that is within you, that holy thing that God has planted within this woman is the very Son of God. And He came in the flesh. In the flesh. He did this to fulfill the law of God. He did this because this was God's prescribed way of giving salvation, sanctification, and redemption to a people that they could not do for themselves. He did that which was perfect in the eyes of God for me. He came as a substitute, a sin bearer, one that would take my being, made just like me, but yet without sin. He had no sin within Him, but He was made just like you and I. They looked upon Him, they saw a man just like all other Jews, probably dark skin, dark hair. They saw a man, but they never saw who He was on the inside. They never saw Him as God in human flesh. And He lived here, according to Scripture, according to history, some 33 years. He walked this earth, the Scripture says, going about doing nothing but good. And when He was 12 years old, He made this statement. He said, I must be about my Father's business. What's He talking about? Time for me to begin the work of redeeming my sheep from sin. It's time that I go about my Father's business. Father sent me into the world to redeem a people, to sanctify a people, and to present that same people unto him as a holy, chaste virgin in the eyes of God. And that's what he's saying here. David said, the Lord is my shepherd. What does a shepherd do? A shepherd watches over, provides for, cares, takes care of, and provides everything the sheep needs. And if you read down through this 23rd Psalm, you will see that the Lord done everything. The sheep didn't do anything. And that's you and I. Nothing in my hands I bring, but simply to Christ I cling. There's nothing that I can do to find favor with God. Christ has done it all. The old song, Jesus paid it all, it's true. He paid every sin debt that I had. And now, as my shepherd, the one that leads me and guides me and directs me, why am I here? Why do I preach the gospel? Well, I decided one day. No, that's the farthest thing from my mind. I had no intention. I had no desire. I have no will to do these things. But God, working within me, giving me the Spirit of God to teach me, to lead me and guide me, as he done many of you, pointing us to Christ and saying, there he is. There he is. There's the only hope for sinful people is the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, go forth and tell them of the great things that he has done. Destroy these things of working our way to heaven. Destroy this thing of pat myself on the back and look who I am. Put these things away and point men to Christ and Christ alone. And if we can, by the grace of God, put our names here in the first verse, the Lord is my shepherd. My shepherd. He owns me, for the Father gave me to him from all creation. He loved me and bought me with his own blood. Unto him, Revelation 1, verse 5. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sin in his own blood. One scripture says it was God's blood that saved us. It was God shedding his own blood in our room and in our stead. And now if I can say, oh, the Lord is my shepherd, everything that follows here in this 23rd Psalm is true to me and true of me. Look what he says next. I shall not want. I shall not lack anything. There's no lackness. I am in need of nothing, standing robed in the righteousness of Christ. Oh, there's many things that this flesh desires to get out and lay hold of. There's many things that we desire to accomplish in this life and this, all these things. But these are meaningful things, meaningless things. But oh, if we have Christ, if we can say the Lord is my shepherd, he did this for me, then I shall not want. I shall not lack anything. I may be the dumbest of all sheep, but I lack nothing. I may be the wandering and straying sheep that staggers here and staggers there and don't know the right way. But oh, if the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I may grow feeble and old, but I shall not want. I will be with thee. I will go with thee always, even unto the end of the world. I shall not forsake thee. I may not have all that I wish to have in this flesh, big this and big that, but I shall want nothing in the very presence of God. I may endure sickness and sorrow, even walk at times in the valley of the shadow of death. But if my Redeemer, if my Shepherd is with me, I shall not want. I shall not want. For the Lord my Shepherd, I have everything good. Everything that I need to stand before God and be accepted, I have in Him. I have in Him. Why should I not lack or want anything? Because the Lord is able to supply all my need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Paul said, wherefore he is able also to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercessions for them. Right now, my shepherd is seated on the right hand of the throne of God, making intercessions on my behalf. I don't understand all that entails or all that means, but I know this. He's there pleading the righteousness of his, or pleading his own righteousness in my room and in my stead. Charge it not unto them. Lay it not unto their charge, but lay it unto me. And that's what he did. You remember what he said while he was on the cross? Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. Even when he was hanging there in agony in the flesh, he cried unto the Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. He is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I lack nothing. There's nothing that I lack in the presence of God. He's able to present me faultless before the very throne of God. That's what Jude said in Jude chapter 24 and verse 24. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now and forever. Now I fall in myself many, many times. Every hour of every day. I watched something. One of the granddaughters was watching a cartoon the other day, and I was with them watching it. And this little fellow was trying to climb up a ladder. He would go up a ladder and he'd slide back down. He'd go up this ladder, take about 3 steps and slide back down. I said, that's a picture of human nature. We think we take 2 steps up and we fall back to the bottom. Finally, this little fellow just gave up and went some other way. We don't give up. We keep attempting by the grace of God. We keep climbing, taking 1 step, although it may be a short step. We grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We continue to grow. From the time that we're born, we continue to grow in him. For he is able to keep us. He's able to keep us from falling. And he's able to present us faultless before the very presence of God. And my shepherd is able to rise this vile body. When it comes for this flesh to be put aside, to lay down, he's able to rise us from the grave and to sit us among princes. This is the power that my shepherd has. This power is given unto him from heaven above. It says, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile bodies, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself. And we have this confidence. We have this confidence. Why? The Lord is my shepherd. Oh, that God would give us grace to lay hold of this. That God would give us the understanding to rest in this. I know my Redeemer liveth. I know who he is because God has revealed it unto me. It's not by my studying or it's not by my research. It's because God speaks to us through the Word of God, by the Spirit of God, and tells us, there he is. There he is. Look to Christ and live. Look at verse 2. He maketh me to lie down in green pasture. I shall not want for rest. For my shepherd maketh me. Now this is not with a rod and a whip. Don't misunderstand this. He maketh me. He leads his sheep out. And he calmly sits down before them. And the sheep calmly lies down and rest. That's what we're doing here this morning. We're coming before Him, and we're resting in the Lord. We're feeding upon the green pastures of God's mercy and grace, and we rest right there. He causes us by His Spirit working within us to simply lay down. Lay down from your working yourselves to heaven. Lay these things down and rest in the Lord. Do God's people work? Oh, yes. Yeah. Your pastor's a prime example. He's all over the country preaching the gospel. He's here week after week preaching the gospel. God's servants are workers, but they're not working but to be justified. They're working because they are justified before God. There's a world of difference here. The people of God are giving people, but they don't give to be justified. They give because God has justified them and made it known unto them, and they've made them willing to share what they have. Men today, I've got to pay my tithes. If I don't do this, they're going to put me out of the church. How foolish. How foolish. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. I know that every little thing that happened in this world, this pandemic that we're going through, rages all kind of fears and troubles and tribulations around us, but we rest. We rest. Will I get it? I don't know if I will or not. It's in God's hand. I may get it. It may be the source and substance that God is pleased to take me to be with Him. I don't know. But while we're here, we rest, knowing the Lord is my shepherd. He will perfect that which concerneth me. He will give me all that I need in this life and in the life to come. Oh, that we may be able to understand this. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Why? Because He will perfect that which concerneth me. Whatever it is that concerns me and this flesh and me in eternity, the Lord will perfect it for me. He's there right now perfecting everything that is concerning me. Oh, that I may say with my soul, lie down, my soul, lie down in the sweet green pastures of God's amazing grace, for my shepherd careth for me. He leadeth me beside the still waters. These still waters pictures the presence of peace. Oh, that this peace that is past all understanding. It's a peace that you and I, we only get a glimpse of it here and a glimpse of it there. Oh, but one day, when we enter into the very presence of God, we'll understand what this peace means. He gives us peace now. Yes, He does. We have peace. We're not running and raging, fighting this and fighting that. We're at peace with God in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that He has accomplished salvation on my behalf. I know that He has redeemed me by His own blood. And I know that He will perfect that which concerneth me. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Oh, there may be troubles and trials around me, even upon me. I may be going through sicknesses and heartaches and pain, as many of you have and are and will. But oh, let these things not shake us. Let us ask God for grace. Lord, give me grace to glorify thy name, even in these times of troubles and trials and tribulation. Cause me to rest in Christ and have no hope in this flesh. One writer said, troubles and trials are pictures of deep waters, troubled waters, waves of the sea. But my shepherd says, peace, be still. Peace, be still. He calms the raging sea, and He calms the raging sins that is so prevalent within you and I. He says, thy sins and thy iniquities are forgiven. Peace, be still. And we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. And I shall not want. I shall not want. So I read this to someone here a while back. It says, and we know Romans 8:28. Most of you know it by heart. And he said, explain that to me. I said, I just did. That's as far as we can go. We know God has given us the grace to know these things. He's worked within our heart to give us peace to know these things. Do I understand everything? No. When sicknesses come and trials and tribulations come, we say, I know that this is for my good. I don't understand them. I don't see through this whole thing. We see through a glass dimly or darkly. But we know that whatever comes our way is brought our way by the hand of our Almighty God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now look at verse 3. He restoreth my soul. I shall not want for redemption. I shall not want for forgiveness. For he restoreth my soul. In Adam I died. In Adam I sinned. And I went one step farther. Even after Adam died, I continued in this thing of sin. I continue to heap sin on sin, even right now. Brother Henry said, the best message I ever preached is so full of sin to send my soul to hell many times over. The best preparation that we can prepare is so full of sin that we wonder, what's he thinking about this? Or how does that go across this way? That's just who we are. And no one has to deal with this until this old flesh is changed. But we rest. We rest knowing that our God, my shepherd, rules and reigns all things. He's sovereign. Someone made the statement this morning. He's sovereign. He's sovereign. He rules and reigns and directs all things at all times in all places. And he does this for my good. For my good. He restoreth my soul to life. In Adam I died, but in Christ I am restored to life in him. And eternal life. Life everlasting. He restoreth my soul to purity. What I lost in Adam. Someone said, what we lost in Adam we gained in Christ. Oh no, we gained much more in Adam. In Christ. Much more than we can ever imagine. There's no there's no death for those that look to Christ. Oh, this flesh must be put off, yes. But there's no death for the inward man. We are alive and we are eternally alive. We have life everlasting in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is my shepherd. Who is my shepherd. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 19, to wit that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing my trespasses or their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. I am at one with God in Christ. Someone, I don't remember who wrote the song. Dear, so dear to God, dear I cannot be, for in the person of his Son I am as dear as he. And then it goes on and says, nearer to God, nearer I cannot be, for in the person of his Son I am as near as he. And our Lord said, thou hast loved them as thou hast loved me. What a statement. What a statement. But this is my shepherd. This is my shepherd. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. He leads me. He don't leave me to myself. He leads me. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. The natural mind is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. But God leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. If we can put our names here. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. It's not only my nature, it's not in my nature to know the path of righteousness. It's not in my nature to find it. It's not in my nature to seek for it, even desire it, to have it, because we're enemies against God. But, oh, my shepherd leads me. He takes me by the hand and says, follow me. Follow me in the path of righteousness. He maketh me righteous before him and leads me in the path both to love it and to walk in it. This is what the Spirit does for us, dwelling within us. It causes us to love what we once hated and hate what we once loved. And he leads us in the path of righteousness, which we never knew before. This is a new way for you and I. He leads us in the path of righteousness. Look at verse 4. Yea, though I, myself, walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. There's nothing going to happen to me that is not according to God's purpose. Now, you tell men this, and they reject it. We had a young man came to our congregation a few weeks ago. I believe, in Wheelersburg that weekend. And everybody was up. You know how it is when a stranger comes in and sits and listens to the gospel. It uplifts your spirit and it uplifts your heart. And the people was telling me about it on Wednesday night. We had this young man, he came and he said he'd be back and this and that. Well, I believe it was Thursday evening. One of the young men in the church, he's a computer whiz or whatever you want to call one of them people, geeks or whatever they are. But anyhow, he messaged me. And he said, this young man sent me this message. And he said, the message was, does that church preach Calvinism? And Brandon sent me the message and said, I don't know how to answer this. He's only been with us for about a year or so. And I said, well, I don't know exactly what to say to him, but I said, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. God loveth the sheep and giveth his life for the sheep. And he sent this text on back to him. And the young man's response was, I understand and reject all 5 points of Calvinism. Nowhere in the scripture, he says, that man makes people to serve him. And he said, it's been good to see you visit with you folks, but I'll find me another church that I can agree with. And I texted the young man back, and I said, well, I would love to talk to you. I said, but with that attitude, there's not much I can say. And I don't know where he went to, where he's at now, but the Lord may speak to him. He may not. He heard the gospel while he was sitting under the gospel, but he went out from us because he was not of us. If he had been of us, he would have no doubt continued with us. But he went out that it might be made manifest that he was not of us. He may be back. I don't know. If he does, the Lord will have to bring him. But let me get back to my lesson. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because the Lord is my shepherd. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. He guides me, directs me, and sends forth his spirit unto me to comfort me. Even in the time of troubles and trials and tribulation, I can say the Lord is with me. Oh, I don't feel very good in this flesh, but I know the Lord is with me. I know that he will never leave me. I know that he will never forsake me. He's told me that. He's told me that. And he's taught it not only to the heart, but also to my head. He caused me to and given me an understanding that he is with me to lead me and guide me and direct me. The rod and staff are symbols of God's sovereignty, direction, and defense. Nowhere in Scripture do we see or hear the shepherd beating the sheep. This staff, he leads them. He may put them out. It may put it out in front of them and direct them. But nowhere does he take this rod and this staff and beat them into submission. We are made willing by the Spirit of God dwelling within us. And we are made willing to follow him. And he leads us in the paths of righteousness. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want, because thou preparest a table before me in the very presence of my enemies. I shall not want for provisions. The Lord supplieth all my need. Oh, come and dine. Come and dine at the table of the Lord. Look, all things are ready. All things are prepared. Come and dine. And that's what we're here for today. We come to feed upon the goodness and the grace of our God. We come to be filled up, strengthened, magnified, and uplifted in the Spirit of God, by the Spirit of God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Do we have enemies? Oh, yes. Yes, we have enemies. But most of the time, the chief enemy is right here. It's right here. I am my worst enemy. Because I get out of one mess, I fall into another one. I attempt to study the Word of God and a bird chirps and my mind flows out the window. A dog barks and my study is destroyed. How frail and feeble we are. But the Lord, my shepherd, prepares a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. And he says, come on, come unto me. Come and dine with me. Feed upon me. Feed upon my goodness. Feed upon the Word of God. Feed upon the goodness of God. The table's prepared. Here it is. Here it is. And then not only does he prepare this table, he works within us to be hungry. He works within us to be thirsty, to come and to eat of that which he has provided for us. Thou anointest my head with oil. Brother John Gill said, giving him an abundance of good things, not only for necessities, but for pleasure and delight, especially pouring out largely upon him the oil of gladness, the Spirit of God and his grace, and anointing with teaching, teaches all things, and fills him with spiritual joy and comfort. This oil of gladness that he pours upon our heads when we worship, when we are in worship, giving him glory and honor and praise, it causes our cup to run over. It causes our cup to run over. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. Our cup is not high full. We're not high full Christians. We're not high full believers. Our cup runneth over. God does not do anything halfway. He will perfect that which concerneth me. He will give me that which I need. He will supply all that I need in this life and the life to come. Our cup is full to the point that it runs over. Our hearts are lifted up to the point that we don't have words to honor him. Our words fail us to honor and to praise and to magnify him. But oh, it's here in the heart. It's here we want to. We desire to. But oftentimes the flesh is weak. We're not able to worship him as we should, or not as we would. But we do worship him. His mercy and his grace, his goodness and his loving kindness is poured out upon me every hour of every day to the point that my cup runneth over. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Surely, it's a fact. This is in the Word of God. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Not I hope to, not I will if I make it through this, not if I will, by the grace of God, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. When David took the throne in Israel, he had made a covenant with Jonathan, Saul's son. And David asked the question, he says, is there any of Jonathan's sons yet alive? And they said, yes, there's one named Mephibosheth. And he said, go get him. Go get him. For he shall eat at my table all the days of my life. He shall feed upon the goodness of the king's bounty all the days of his life, although he be lame on both his feet. Because of the fall, Jonathan was lame upon both his feet. Because of the fall, you and I have fell into this thing of sin. But all because of the grace and the glory of God, we shall feed at the Lord's table all the days of our life. For goodness and mercy of my Lord and Shepherd shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. How is all these things possible? And the salt and such a worm as I. How can this be? It's because the Lord is my shepherd. He careth for me. He loveth me. And he leadeth me beside the still water. And the Lord, by my great shepherd, will one day present me unto the Father and says, behold, I and the children which thou hast given me. They are perfect, standing in the robes and the righteousness of my own son. And I am accepted in him. And the Father says, come on. Come in. Set thou down at the very presence of God. But it's only possible because the Lord is my shepherd. Thank you.